Blog Talk Radio.
The extra point is up, and it is good. Welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show. I'm your host, Coach Keith Howard, coming to you all the way from the All England Lawn and Country Croquet Country Club. And no, I'm really not. But hey, Venus is in a dogfight right now. We're going to talk about that a little bit more, but she's down 6-5, a double set point in the first set against Muguruza from Spain. So, hey, I mean, we'll keep tabs on Venus. I think she can come back and pull this thing out. So, hey, it is 41 days and 12 hours until the kickoff of the college football season. Am I counting the days? Yeah, I am counting the days. We got a great show for you today, though. How many of you knew that, and you guys know I'm a big, big proponent of women's tackle football, and how many of you knew that the United States just came off of a gold medal victory, Team USA, and I've got one of their fine players, Rachel Hune, as a guest today. Rachel plays offensive line. As we know, offensive linemen get no credit. They get no glory. So today is Rachel's day for a shining moment, and speaking of shining, Rachel's a gold medalist, so looking forward to having her on. And, hey, it's summertime, so that means the weather's hot, the weather's nice, that means the grass is green, and that means golf. That's right, golf. Hey, we don't leave any sport unturned. So we've got golf pro Brent Taliaferro to join us today from the Oak Creek Country Club. So I'm looking forward to having Brent come in as our first guest. So got a lot going on. Quick Venus update again. Just went down 7-5. So she's down a set. We need her to come back and win the next two sets. So, hey, tons to talk about, tons to talk about. And so why don't we get right to our PATs, because we want to spend some time on that today. So why don't we hit the ball? Well, there's a lot going on, and you'll see that this PAT segment, and PAT stands for Pay Attention Topic for those new listeners. Pay Attention Topic is kind of that topic that's off the beaten trail a little bit, not getting a ton of buzz, but in a few weeks or so, you're going to say, you know what, I heard that on the Extra Points Radio Show. They are way ahead of the game. And so here's one of them, Michael Floyd. You know Michael. You know the guy that came out of Notre Dame with a lot of bravado, a lot of hype, and he goes to the Cardinals and does really well and was really the number two to Fitzgerald. Got a little trouble with alcohol, and who picked him up? But the New England Patriots, they seem to pick up guys that, you know, have a tough time, and they conform to the Patriot way. Patriots used him in a couple games, and then they cut him like they do, right? So they're like, hey, we used you. We got what we wanted out of you. Now get out of here. So the Vikings, Minnesota Vikings, where, by the way, he is from, scoops him up. So what a great story. Now he gets to go back home, play in front of the home crowd, this, that, and the other. Well, no. So, did a little random drug test, and guess who failed? Michael Floyd. Yep. So, now he's got to sit out, 4-game suspension. Seems as though he was drinking some of that kombucha tea or something. Don't know what the story was behind why he was drinking it. I mean, it's against the rules. You can't drink it. So, So the NFL caught him, so he's going to lose a paycheck for about a month. And quite honestly, I wonder, will the Vikings invite him back? Or will they just release him, let him go? I don't know. But, you know, the kid's a good talent, big, strong, fast kid. You'd like to see him, you know, get yet a third chance. But on the other hand, at what point do you go, you know, if this guy's just a knucklehead, he'll never get it and cut your losses. So I know Coach Mike Zimmer, strict disciplinarian. This could be the end of this young man's career. So we could talk about that for a little while, but let's move over. Staying in football, speaking of may not be playing, how about Ezekiel Elliott? Now, Ezekiel, you know, the stories are coming out that this has been looming for a while. He's got a domestic violence investigation against him right now. And he's facing possible suspension from the league because the league, you know, the league looks into player conduct and those types of things. So, again, here's the guy, drafted high, first NFL season, Pro Bowl, all that. He's taking his you know, really his first off-season, full off-season workout regimen. And he's still kind of waiting as to whether or not he's going to be up on these charges, these allegations. Leveled against him by his former girlfriend. This goes back to 2015. So, you know, it's in Columbus, Ohio, where I think he'll get some favor because obviously he played running back at Ohio State. But I believe that there's a growing sense out there that Elliott will face some sort of suspension, even if he doesn't get criminal charges. I think the NFL, when they do their own investigation, you know, strange things happen. And, you know, what we don't want is we don't want a Ray Rice incident. We don't want that sort of thing. So, you know, I think he may be bracing. I think the Cowboys, you know, might want to get the backup revved up. And this could happen at any time. They open up with the Giants. And so this could happen right before they open up. You may have to go through training camp and then play the Giants in week one, which is an NFC East game. And they may not have him, or maybe the second game where they go on the road and play Denver, which is the best defense. And so, you know, to go into those two games without Ezekiel Elliott could be tough. I got to believe he's pretty frustrated about this whole set of circumstances, but guess what? He brought it on himself. Yeah, so we'll see what happens. You know, the NFL's got to get it right. They botched up the kicker Josh Brown from the Giants. They botched that one. So they got to get this one right. So we'll see what happens. We can talk about that forever. Aaron Judge. So we'll switch over to baseball here for a second. So this kid is amazing. Now, the other night he had what some call an epic home run derby. I mean, he won it. People were in awe. You know, some of the headlines were that he defied physics when he hit a home run off the roof in Marlins Park. I mean, this guy's unbelievable. He's batting 329, three home runs already, which has obliterated Joe DiMaggio's rookie home run record. I mean, you know, 66 RBI, 75 runs. You know, his kid's out in right field. He's getting it done. So the question is, though, why is he getting, you know, a little more hype? You don't see him with any, you know, commercials, this, that, and the other. And I was thinking about, you know, baseball, it kind of doesn't operate that way. Baseball, the, you know, a team sport, just like football and that. But, you know, it just seems that football and basketball, they're characters, right? And you've got to wait eight players before Aaron Judge comes up to bat again. He may bat three or four times in a game. If he takes a day off, you don't see him for maybe two or three days. So it's just not the same. So, you know, he's no Bryce Harper, that's for sure. He's a humble pie guy. I was watching the All-Star game, some of his interviews, pregame interviews. He's really, really humble, really quiet guy. So, yeah, I don't know. But if there's ever a star in Major League Baseball shining bright right now, here is Aaron Judge. He is the truth. So let's just hope that he doesn't have any issue, Michael Floyd. Let's just hope that he has no issues with tea or any sort of other substance, let's put it that way. So we can talk about that forever, too. But what I want to talk about and what our PAT is about today is going right back to football. Hit the button. almost training, and there are two guys out there that still have not been picked up, two free agents. Now, I'm going to give you the tale of the tape on these two free agents, and you will know who they are. First of all, they play quarterback, both of them. One of them is 27, the other one's 29. One of them was drafted second overall in 2012. The other one drafted 36th overall in 2011. So they played 5 and 6 seasons respectively. One has started 40 games. The other one started 58 games. One's 15 and 25. The other one's 28-30. Completion rate, one of them 63%. The other one 59%. Touchdowns, one of them's 42 touchdowns. One of them 72 touchdowns. Interception, one's 26, one's 30. Passer rate, one's 88%, one's 88%. Rushing yards per game, one's 40 yards, one's 33 yards. So you get where I'm going. Rushing touchdowns, one's 10, one's 13. So all those numbers say this. RG3 was the first one. Colin Kaepernick was the second one. It's basically the same guy. They played in the same offense, right? So, but when you really, really grind on the numbers, RG3 actually has the better numbers. Yeah. So, for example, here's what's the big deal about this. Kaepernick played in 20 more games, but RG3 has about the same numbers. So, now, here's a difference, big difference. Kaepernick took his team to a Super Bowl. RG3 lost in the playoffs to Seattle and really hasn't been the same since. So, you know, when you look at all of this, well, why aren't they picked up, this, that, and the other? Well, because they're the same guy. And, you know, really these numbers aren't NFL quarterback numbers. They're just not. So, you know, I think that I think when it's all said and done, if you had to pick one, if you really, really had to pick one, and you just did it on numbers alone, you pick RG3. You do, because RG3, what he was able to do in 2012 on really a team that really wasn't that good, I mean, he was the whole team. When you look at Kaepernick going to the Super Bowl, that team was good. That defense, led by Navarro Bowman, Patrick Willis, guys like that, that team was loaded. So, you know, I just think that if they're the same guy, if they're the same guy, and the numbers say they are, they played in the same offense with similar coordinators and that, RG3's probably has the better upswing. Now, let's not, you know, we can't throw out the fact that only one of them took a knee during the national anthem. And I think that's another part of it. I mean, we can't avoid the fact that RG3 still, I think people are still craving for him. He just came out this week about, you know, a baby with a girlfriend and this, that, and the other. But it's not, that's kind of almost glamorized. Whereas Kaepernick, who's really, you know, kind of being an activist, just kind of shunned. And I think that's what ultimately will happen, is teams will look at the numbers and they'll go, well, you know what, it's the same guy, so why don't we just go with the guy who's being glamorized versus going with the guy that's being the activist. And so that's where I think RG3 comes out, and RG3 wins it. Now, when is it going to happen? I don't know. But I think RG3, at only 27 years old, you can't take it away from him. He's the offensive rookie of the year in his rookie year. He was the number two pick overall. He played on a really bad Cleveland team. I still think he's got plenty to redeem himself about. He's had some forgettable seasons. But, you know, when you look at it, when you look at, you know, the highest-rated rookie season, Roethlisberger, when he was a rookie, was 5. Russell Wilson, when he was a rookie, was 4. Mark Bulger, how many remember him? Mark Bulger with the Rams in 2002. His quarterback rating was a 101.5. Well, number 2 was 2012, Robert Griffin III. He has the second-highest-rated rookie season in NFL history. If he could get half of that back, I'm telling you. And by the way, number 1 was Dak Prescott. I was trying not to mention that. It's been trending backwards, But I think ultimately at the end of the day, I think Robert wins that. So, hey, that's our pay attention topic for this week. What I'd like to do now is shift gears, not even going to take a break, because I'm excited because this is the first time that we've actually talked about golf other than Ricky Fowler's terrible pants. Those orange pants are awful. This guy's making a living off wearing tight orange pants. Ain't winning nothing. But I'm not an expert, so we got to bring in an expert. So I want to bring in Brent Taliaferro from the Oak Creek Country Club. And, Brent, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Brent, how
how's
you
everybody
doing
today? I'm great. I'm great.
Good,
how about
good.
Yourself?
Good, man. You're making history right here on the Extra Points Radio Show because, quite honestly, the only time we've given golf is clowning Ricky Fowler. That's the only time we've really given any golf, although we did do some back and forth about Tiger Woods one segment. So, you, first of all, tell me all about Oak Creek. I know that they just recently had a tournament out there with the Prince George's Chamber. Tell the listening audience about Oak Creek.
Yes, we did. We did host the PG Chamber, and it was a total success. Oak Creek Golf Club is one of the newest opened golf clubs in the Mid-Atlantic area. It was private before, owned by a private company, and back in 2008 they kind of tanked out. So Toll Brothers were building homes on the property, cutting the grass, maintaining the property. So they said, why not just open it up as their first public golf course? We did that about.
And where's the location?
Location is in the Upper Marlboro, right off of 214. One of the landmarks in the area is Six Flags. We're maybe 2 miles from there. We have other courses in the area. And
got
you know,
got you. Now your title is golf pro.
Go ahead.
I mean that's your title. What's the day in the life? What do you like? What do you do? I mean, I understand some guys get up and they start swinging a golf club at like 7 a.m. and they play until it gets dark. What does your day look like?
Well, unfortunately, it's not many golf clubs being swung by pros in the area. Contrary to popular belief, golf professionals don't get to play as often as we would like to. I mean, of course, everyone would like to play all the time, but I come in the morning about 5 o'clock, open up the shop, make sure the staff is all there, talk to the maintenance crew who work very hard at what they do. And about 6:30, 7 o'clock, golfers start showing up. We're running a lot of back-of-the-house things, running tournaments such as the Chamber, and just making sure the day-to-day operations of the golf club are successful. And the club makes money, of course. And then sometimes we
of
get
course.
To play. maybe 30 to 40 minutes at the end of the day, we can sneak out. We don't have too much prepared for the next day. But there are the great things about it, like playing competitively, getting on at inaccessible courses and stuff like that. It's a life of a journeyman almost. It's very exciting, but you get out what you put in.
Now tell us about, you talked about the club making money, and, of course, that's important. The Extra Points Radio Show is a business and sports show. So I hear all the time that, you know, this is one of the most expensive sports, from the equipment to the time on the court, this, that, and the other. I mean, how does John Q. Citizen be able to come out and get some recreation, get some leisure, and play some golf? If it's so expensive, is it affordable?
It is. It's very affordable. You just have to set an expectation for what you want to do, what enables you as is the goal in life. I mean, no one wants to overdo themselves and live beyond their means. If you're not doing that, you're perfectly fine. Getting into the game is very inexpensive. You can rent golf clubs nowadays, so you only pay when you play. You don't have to invest, or if you do, there are very diverse sets of golf clubs and equipment that you can buy to get into the game. Not to mention the secondary market. You know, people are selling used clubs nowadays that are in great shape. You don't have to go out and spend $500-$600 to get into the game. I can get you into the game for about $100-$150, which is very reasonable when you think about how many times you're going to use them. Golf clubs and equipment last for years. It's not like a basketball is going to go flat eventually or wear down. You can use golf clubs for about 6 to 7 years. For $150, that's a pretty good investment.
That is a pretty good investment. Now let me ask you this. I know that, you know, kids are younger and younger and younger getting recruited and getting into sports and this, that, and the other. What is a beginner, you know, say I'm a parent and I want my kid to get, you know, involved in the sport. You know, what does that look like? How does a youngster get involved? I noticed there are not a lot of even golf teams at the high school level. How does a kid get into the sport?
Well, a lot of golf courses will have a junior program. There are sections in the PGA, which we are in the Mid-Atlantic section, that do things to grow the game. Not only first tee, I mean, that's very popular, but you have your Get Golf Ready programs for young kids and adults that's just starting to get into the game. You have junior golf programs that host tournaments, and there, it's not about the competition. It's about the lessons of life that are taught through the game. And if you get in it early, you just become that much more versed in what you're trying to do in life and golf. They run together seamlessly. I really believe that. Just check with your local pro shop, or call your pro, or definitely call Oak Creek. We love the kids over here. I mean, we do clinics and things like that. We do camps where you just get the kids out for an hour or two. You know, I mean, long gone are the days where golf is a long, drawn-out sport, 4 or 5 hours. We're not really pressing that issue when getting a child into the game. So we make it fun, we make it accessible and affordable. Those three things are going to be successful in any sport you try to get your kid into. I mean, it's a win-win for the kid, for the parent, for the course, and for the game. That's the biggest thing.
You're listening to Brent Tyler Farrell, Oak Creek Country Club on the Extra Points Radio Show. Brent, let me ask you now, how did you get in sport? I mean, did you play in college, or how did you get a set of clubs in your hand?
I actually didn't play in college. My brother got me into the game. It was a family thing. I just picked up the game probably 8 years ago. I'm relatively young in the game of golf. But that just goes to show you how easy it is to actually come up in the game of golf professionally. You don't have to be a 5-year-old phenom or, you know, some natural gifted golfer such as Bubba Watson or anything like that. Hard work, dedication, and putting your mind to what you're trying to do they'll do wonders for you. I mean, I see people that come in all the time. First, they're just normal golfers. Then they want to learn more about the game. Now they want to get into the business, and they end up loving what they do. And whenever you can love your job, you stop working and you start living.
Well, that is a big deal. So now I'm sure you get asked this question all the time, being around the course and on the links and that. And let me just give a quick scoring update, if you don't mind. But Venus is getting destroyed. First set was 7-5, now it's 5-love. So I don't think Venus is going to bring this thing home. So now Tiger Woods, will he ever, first of all, is he the GOAT? Is he the GOAT in golf, in your opinion?
Well, when you talk GOAT, I mean, it's very opinionative. I mean, he is in my opinion, but everyone has one. I mean, when it comes to facts, you know, it's going to be up to personal preference. You want Jordan or LeBron. You want Jack or Tiger. You know, it's in every sport you can find that. But I believe that he is the greatest of all times. The things that he's done on the course will never be replicated, and it can't be taken away from him. So in my eyes, in my opinion, I respect Jack's career. I respect everyone's career because I respect the game of golf so much, and I know how hard the sport is. So I have to, like, take that into consideration and
yes, Tiger Woods is the GOAT.
Is the GOAT. All right, there you go. I heard it here first. So tell our listening audience about some of the etiquette of golf. I know I've been out there. I've broken a rule or two in my day. But, you know, give our audience just some flavor on, you know, what's an absolute, you know, do or don't out on the course.
Absolute do is have fun. Enjoy yourself.
Have fun. I like that. That's a do. I like that. Well, because I see sometimes you're really serious and, you know, you put a lot of money on a hole and they don't win. It's kind of, you know, sour grapes the rest of the round. Like, but I'm glad you said that. Go out there and have some fun, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you got to get into your groove. You learn, you meet a lot of people on a golf course, and you just kind of figure out who plays more to your temperament. You get that foursome together, and I mean, there's no way you can't have fun. And then golf includes travel. You got guys taking trips together, bonding. It's about more than just a score that you put up. I mean, once you get to the level of one of the bet money and stuff like that. I mean, I know guys that shoot 150, but they still bet just like pros because that's what they enjoy doing. You know, you don't go into
right.
a casino expecting to win. You just expect to gamble, and it's a gamble. Once you have fun doing that, I mean, hopefully you win some money, but if not, you have a good time. And you can bet on other things, stupid things, who's going to drive home, stuff like that makes it competitive. But first you want to have a decent game. So it's all a journey. I mean, once you get to that level, you really have fun.
Tell the listening audience how they can find out more information about Oak Creek and come out and see you and like you say, have fun.
Well, you can go to our website at www.golfoakcreek.com and then book tee times, meet the staff, learn about the course, take a look. You can call in. I mean, our phone rings all day and we love it. The phone number is 301-249-0809. We got a hair professional here. He's awesome. William Fritz. He plays a lot. You know, as much as he can, he does very well. He knows a lot about the game, and he loves helping people. You got me, an assistant professional, and we have Evan Neal just came on board as assistant professional as well. He's come out and see us. I mean, you won't be sorry, and you will be entertained.
That's great. That's great. Frank Kelly Farrell, Oak Creek Country Club, we appreciate you coming into the Extra Points Radio Show. And I'm going to get over there and swing. My back's got a tweak in it, but I'm going to get over there and swing a little bit and have some of that fun you're talking about.
Well, we look forward to seeing you.
Very good. Hey, I told you that we'd be groundbreaking and we'd get some golf in there, and we did, while simultaneously getting some tennis in there. Venus I don't know what happened, but 7-5, 6-0. Man, you know, I don't know what to say on this one. You know, I love women's athletics and women's sport, and I just think it would have been so great for the women's game. And I'm not taking anything from this opponent. They did a great job. I was one of the greatest players in the world, 6-love in the second set. But, man, what an outstanding story that would have been for Venus. So I hope this isn't the last we see of Venus. But it is the first we hear Team USA and women's tackle football and another groundbreaking event today on the Extra Points Radio Show where we actually have a gold medalist on the air. So, Rachel Kuhn, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
Rach, how are you? How are you? I'm good.
I'm doing great.
I tell you what, Rachel. I'm looking at these pictures that I see all over social media. And first of all, I want our listening audience to know, Rachel plays offensive line. They get no credit at all. So this is her time to shine. I'm so proud of you, Rachel. Tell me about this winning a gold medal. Tell me all about this Team USA deal.
Okay. Well, first of all, we started our training camp for the World Games, and it's called the International Federation of American Football, and that's who handles the whole thing. And we started the journey back in January with a tryout in Orlando, and we did this at the Pro Bowl of all things. We're finally getting a little bit of recognition. yes, the NFL and really USA Football has been working hard to get women included at least a little bit in some of their events. And we did the tryout there. There was about 200 to 220 women that tried out. 40 offensive linemen tried out. They took
what?
Eight. Yeah.
What?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. I would have loved to see 40 offensive linemen. And so you finished in that final eight.
Yes, I did.
Now,
which was very exciting.
Guard, tackle? Yeah, it's exciting. Center, guard, or tackle?
So I tried out at center because there really was – that's the position I've been playing for the last 5-6 years with the Divas, and that was the position that they really didn't have too many centers at tryouts. They had split tryouts between two sessions, so there was only about 100 in each of the sessions, which kind of made it difficult to get kind of a rhythm going for those of us trying out. So there was nobody else who could play center at the level that they wanted in that tryout. So I tried out for that. I really enjoy playing guard and told them that I was interested in playing guard as well. And what ended up happening is after I made the team, they actually decided that they wanted me to play guard. So I played left guard through the games.
And so when I'm doing my research, I find out that you've got Australia's got a team, Canada, Finland, Great Britain, Mexico, and, of course, the United States. And then what I didn't know was this is kind of a three-peat for you guys. So this isn't the first time the United States team's won the gold. But here's my question. You mentioned the D.C. Divas. So what I'm trying to figure out is how did you do both? You played both teams? How does that work?
Yeah, so the way they do it is there are a couple of different women's leagues. The WFA, which is where the Divas are a part of, actually takes a break in order for all of the women to be able to play for Team USA because they recognize how important it is for us to be ambassadors of the sport. Some of the other leagues did not take breaks, so those players that came from – there was – I think maybe 8 or 9 that came from the IWFL and USFL. And they did not take a break. The IWFL for sure did not take a break. So those players missed out on playoff games, which is really unfortunate.
Yeah, that is unfortunate. Now, where was the IFAF games? Where did you play these games? What part of the world were you in?
We were in a suburb of Vancouver, Canada, so we played in Langley, which is about 30 minutes from Vancouver Airport. A beautiful area and great this time of year to play because it's a little cooler there, although our first game against Mexico was about as hot as it normally is in Mexico.
So this football has really taken you all over the place. I remember – coaching you, Rachel, early in your career, very early in your career, and yelling at you and screaming at you, which was a great pleasure for me. And and I can remember us being out on the road, and, you know, we're just kind of going over to Detroit and up to Boston and this and that. But the game's now taking you all over the world. I guess I got to ask you now, you're a gold medalist. I don't know how many championships you got with the Divas. What do you got, 3 or 4? What do you got?
No, two. We went to the championship
great.
A third time and then didn't make it, unfortunately.
There you go. And of course, with me, we lost by 3 points. We won't go into that one. So
yeah,
here's the thing.
That's okay.
What in the world do you do next? I mean, what do you, you know, do you keep playing? I mean, you've been playing how long?
This was my 10th season and my last playing. I love playing, but my body is telling me that it's time to be done and move on.
Yeah, you've had a couple injuries. Yeah, you've had a couple injuries playing guard.
Yep.
You're going to get some in. Tell us about those. We had the animal on here, Donna Williams. It took her 20 minutes to tell us the number of injuries she's had. Well, what have you had, you know, to your body? What's been done?
I tore my shoulder back early in my career, and that was a long recovery, but I was able to play through the season and just deal with it in the off season. Mostly the injuries that I end up with are broken fingers playing on the offensive line, and I tape them up and deal with it.
Wow. That's pretty good.
That's pretty
good. Now tell me, I know when I met you, we put you at guard, played a little center, but you had a left tackle who I thought was a very impressive athlete. My goodness. Rebecca, now how is she doing? And was she on this U.S. team as well?
Yes, she started playing the same time I did, and she's also It was great because her and I got to play next to each other for the USA team. She played left tackle, I played left guard, and it was a lot of fun because we haven't been able to play together on the field much at all. So it was very exciting to be able to do that.
Well,
she's doing
great. I mean, a gold medal. I'm telling you. Now, are you going to coach now, or what are you going to? What I mean, I know I've been told once a diva, always a diva. I get it. Are you going to coach? Or are you going to, you know, go into the booth I'm doing? What are you going to do?
So I started a few years ago coaching youth football, and have been doing that in the falls, and that's a lot of fun. I like being able to do that. I don't know if I'll coach for the Divas or not. It's one of those things where I think as a player who's played with most of the people that are there, it's good to give it a couple of years before you try. It's really hard to transition from playing next to somebody to then coaching them. I appreciate the people who take the time away and come back. I actually was just offered and start in, a week and a half now, an internship with the New York Jets. So I will be going up there to intern with them. And
oh, that's great for
their
training camp?
Yes, I'm actually I will be a scout for them in their scouting department.
That's a great story. Congratulations on that. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
So now,
I'm super excited.
You've done a 10-year career. I know you've seen some changes, you know, in women's tackle football over your 10 years. Where do you see it 10 years from now? Y'all are winning gold medals. I didn't think that would happen 10 years ago. I thought it'd be lucky if
right.
we just had one league, but now there are two or three different leagues. Hundreds of players all over the country, now the world. What do you see, you know, 10 years from now? What do you see women's tackle football?
Well, I guess I would say it's my hope for women's tackle football is that we do get that one league that you were talking about, at least here in the U.S. It seems to be moving that way. I also am looking forward to more countries with more women playing football throughout the world. I know that so we had six teams that played in Vancouver, and boy, I know there's at least 20 countries that play. So I hope that it keeps getting bigger and bigger and women get opportunities. I mean, this year we just saw the first team in Africa. Morocco has a team. So I'm really excited for them. That's a big step. There are some Asian countries that have teams, which is really cool too. So especially in those parts of the world where women are more oppressed than others, that I look forward to seeing them grow the sport.
But tell me this, and we got Rachel Hume, gold medalist, Team USA, and DC Diva, offensive lineman. Tell me this, isn't it a tough sell? I mean, you just talked about, I tore my shoulder up. I mean, you've got to go to work the next day, right? You've got all these banged up injuries. There's a ton of travel. It's a lot of time. And the worst one of all, which is the one that just I could spit, is that you guys pay to play football, which I think is the worst travesty in the world. Isn't this a tough sell to get someone who's running around playing recreational flag or kickball or whatever? Is that a tough sell? How do you sell it?
Well, it is a tough sell because of all those things. But I also think people realize how much fun we're having, and if they get a chance to check out a game that they have such a good time watching, obviously there's teams that are better than others for excitement. But it's one of those things that it's just, you have to love the game. And it really, for us, it's so funny having this tryout that we did in Orlando next to the Pro Bowl, because we had Pro Bowl players from the NFL come tell us, you know, we see your passion for the game. I wish some of the people on our side of the field had the same passion, because it's, you really just have to love the game that much.
Yeah, no, you do. I can remember those nights where, you know, you guys are coming off of your jobs, this, that, and the other. You know, some got kids and all these things, and they're still out there, you know, hitting each other for two straight hours and playing in the blazing heat. You know, it's just crazy.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So now tell me this, because you said you want to continue to see the sport grow. How can someone find out about this whole Team USA thing? How can they do that? And, you know, and that sort of thing. Is there a website or something people can go to?
Yep. USA Football is the one who puts on all of the international games. So USA Football does men's football for all these different levels. And then they also have the women's international games, and it's just usafootball.com has information on it. It's kind of set up like the Olympics. So the women's national team is every 4 years. So you'd have to wait until, what is that, 2021 for the next one.
And what are you
doing? But obviously there are local teams too.
Do you wear your gold medal around? What do you do with that thing?
I've worn it a little bit. It's very cool. It was very surreal, and it's a great way to end my career, because obviously we had lost a playoff game just before we left, so we knew I was done playing as a diva. So having my last three games of my career playing against international competition and the final one with a gold medal was the culmination of my career. It was amazing. I've got it now. It's hanging up just on a shelf, and I look at it up fondly every day. I'll be ordering a ring too at some point.
Yeah, no, so. Absolutely do that, because really for you, and again, I can remember when you were early in your career, and I got to scream and yell at you. I screamed and yelled at you because I saw the potential. I'm not taking any credit for anything, but I'm going to tell you this. You have to win one game in a week, and you did it. You won one game in a week, and that one game got you a gold medal. No one can ever take that away from you. I know one thing.
Exactly.
One guy's out there really, really, really proud of you. So, hey,
well,
Rick,
thank you.
Stay in touch with us. Thanks for joining us on the Extra Points Radio Show, and we'll see you
down
the road.
Okay, bye, dear.
Rachel Hume, Team USA. I tell you, a gold medalist, that's a pretty big deal. So in one show, we talked golf for 15 straight minutes. We talked golf, and then we talked to a gold medalist. So, Rachel Hume, cheers to you, my friend. Great job. Great job. And you know what else? Let me tell you something about Rachel. You can't find a better person than Rachel Hume. I wasn't going to let her get out her Sparty stuff, but she loves Michigan State. But I'm going to tell you something. You can't find a better person than Rachel Hughes. So, hey, good stuff, good stuff. So, anyway, let's shift gears to that men's game where they actually do get paid to play. And what I want to talk about is, you know, last week I kind of was a little tough on the Redskins' defense. Why? Because it stunk. It was 28 out of 30-some-odd teams. It was 28. And the DBs are even worse. This cornerback situation, Josh Norman, $75 million, way too much money for a corner. Should give that to offensive linemen. Believe me, that's what's important, not corners. They're little. They're not important. Anybody can play corner. Not anybody can play offensive line. But anyway, so I'm thinking about the Skins' upcoming season. I'm thinking about this defensive backfield. I think it's going to be an improved defensive backfield. This kid, Swearinger, who comes over through free agency from the Cardinals, I think he's going to be a really, really good player. I don't think there are any question marks with him. You know, he got away from the Cardinals for more money. So I think he's a major upgrade. The question mark back there is going to be Sua Craven. Sua Craven is a linebacker being, you know, converted to safety. And while he made some plays last year kind of in that tweener slot, it'll be interesting to see him every down. I think he has a chance to revolutionize the game, just like, you know, DNs and linebackers, those type of tweener guys. I think Sua Craven could revolutionize going from linebacker to safety. We'll see what happens. Now, last year they lost, you know, they lost Dante Whitner, David Bruton Jr. Those were the two starters on opening day. I'm sorry, well, D'Angelo Hall, who ended up tearing out his ACL. David Bruton Jr. never really recovered from a concussion he had week three. Just wasn't performing. They tried Duke Iheanacho. That did not work out. So this year I think it's bright. I think there's an upswing. They've got a Michigan State kid. I should have said that to Rachel Hume. They've got a Michigan State safety, Monte Nicholson. They got in the fourth round. Fourth round's a nice round to grab up a safety. Now he's got some injury, so he's still recovering from injury from his college years. But hopefully he can mend somewhere around training camp. I look for him to be a special teamer this year. You know, probably won't make a ton of impact, but definitely be a special teamer. And then you've got D'Angelo Hall. That's another question mark. Now, D. Hall, he looks like a safety back there. He looks like a free safety, headhunter guy, covers a lot of ground. But he's coming off of, you know, two or three Achilles, right, and ACL last year. He's older. I just don't know what to expect from him. I think he's going to be a nice reserve, especially if Sua Craven, you know, struggles. I think you could put D. Hall at three and have Swearinger play that Sua Craven spot on the strong side. So that could work out for him. But I think D. Hall is a big question mark. And the other thing, do you even keep him? Does he make the team? He's a veteran guy. He's going to want more, a lot of money. Do you cut that money loose and invest in a younger player? I don't know. I like D. Hall, and I love veteran players. But he has had so many injuries lately. It's just going to be tough. So they pretty much cut everybody, all the other safeties that they had last year. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I think it will be improved for a couple reasons. I think they've upgraded the talent at defensive back. And, of course, the front seven is better, right? So you've got Jonathan Allen, who's a horse, who could play any of the defensive line spots. I've said that before time and time again. And then you've got, you know, you still got Kerrigan. You've upgraded the inside linebacker spot. I think their blitz game's going to be better, which should make the DBs better. We will see about that one. So, hey, we're going to take a short break and come right back and close out the show with our two-minute warning and a couple other announcements. We'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show.
about money, money, money. I don't need that wealth or fame. I just want enough to play the game.
Chuck, you are so right. We do need some money, and we're always looking for sponsors for the Extra Points Radio Show. If you are interested in being a sponsor on the show, please contact us at coach@extrapointsllc.com. You can reach me on Twitter at extrapointsllc. Great show today. 2-minute warning. Pretty easy. History. And although Venus did not make history today in her attempt to be the oldest women's champion in Wimbledon. She's made history with the accomplishments that she has had over her career. She's definitely a top 10 player of all time, and what a great career. But we made history today. You know, they said we couldn't do it. They said all we talk about is football and basketball and baseball and hockey. Well, guess what? Add golf to it. There you go. So we want to thank Brent Taliaferro from the Oak Creek Country Club for coming in, Golf Pro. Go out there and go out to Oak Creek, hit some balls, and like he said, have some fun. We made history in another way. Who knew? Who knew that everyone knew that women play tackle football? I think most people know that. But who knew that the United States won their third gold medal this past season? And so we had one of the gold medalists, Rachel Hughes, who plays offensive line from that team, from Team USA, as a guest here on the Extra Points Radio Show. So we thank her for coming out. So it's all about history today in the 2-minute warning. So, hey, we got a couple predictions. Really, I just want one prediction for this week, and it's got to be the Nationals. I'm very, very concerned about our Nets. Looked good last night, but I'm still very, very concerned. But here's a prediction I'm going to make. Prediction I'm going to make is they're going to sweep. They got 3 games against Cincinnati. I say that they won last night. They're going to win the next 3 at Cincinnati and sweep them. So those are my 3 predictions for this week. Let's see what else we got. Oh, of course, as always, please don't hesitate if you want to find out more about Extra Points and what we do. Visit www.extrapointsllc.com. And you'll find out we do a lot of things. And one of the things that we do is we go out and engage, motivate, and inspire teams. So if your team is looking for someone to do that, I'm your guy. Book me. Book Coach Howard. Speaking of book, if you want to buy my book and hear all about how a guy lost $15 million, lived to tell about it, and you know what, is richer now than ever, book me again. Go to extrapointsllc.com, click on the book, and you will see Extra Points, the life of my story. Book's still doing really, really well. We appreciate all those who send feedback. I love when people read it and then send feedback. And some of them are friends and family who find out stuff they didn't know about. And then some of them are total strangers who were inspired by the book. So, hey, wonderful, wonderful stuff. Next week is probably going to be a listener call-in week, so please do. I'm going to put some controversial topics out there on Facebook and Twitter for you to weigh in on. Have an extra point. Come on into the show. Call in. That's 215-383-3872. Call in. We'll be here as we are every Saturday. We're coming up on our 75th show. So we're going to keep it moving, and hopefully we'll get to 100, unless, of course, there are bigger and better things on the horizon. So I'll put that little teaser out there. Also next week, of course, we'll be having another Skins update as we near training camp. Today is July 15th, the last day to sign Kirk Daniel Cousins to a long-term agreement. I don't think that's going to happen. So we don't know what's going to happen with the Redskins at quarterback. Remember the name Nate Sudfeld. Look him up. I was watching one of his college games the other day. Nate's the third-string quarterback for the Redskins. He went to Indiana University. Let me tell you something. He's a pro quarterback. He is. He's just young. So if we lose Kirk Daniel Cousins, I don't think it's the end of the world. I actually think the replacement is already on the team. They don't need to go out and draft one. And then Colt McCoy is Kirk Cousins. I'm going to keep saying it. People, you know, are down on Colt McCoy. I don't know why, but could Colt McCoy throw for 3,000 yards in this league? Yes. Could he take his team to the playoffs? Yeah. Probably with an improved defense. Is he going to go to the Super Bowl and win it? No. Well, guess who I just described? Kirk Daniel Cousins. Same guy. Going to throw for 3,000 yards, may squeak his team into the playoffs, definitely not going to win a Super Bowl. Same guy. So, go figure. So, anyway, hey, we appreciate all of our guests coming in today. Rarely do we have two guests, so we enjoyed that. And we appreciate each and every one of you. Some of you are regulars, and you listen every week. Kingsley in New York, love Clayton Kingsley. Spread the word. Help us spread the word. Go out on social media. Tell everyone about the Extra Points Radio Show. You know, it is a business and sports show, and we tell it like it is. You know, we don't try and sugarcoat it. It's not canned like some of the other stuff that you hear on regular radio. We kind of keep it real here, and really what we want to do is educate everybody on the money end, on the money part of sports. And like I said earlier, I appreciate Venus Williams' opponent, but I think had Venus won, this would have been huge for women's sports. And of course, I think more people would be buying tennis rackets today, but a relative unknown won it, and that could be good for women's sports as well. I'm all in for Venus. So, hey, we're going to head out, and we look forward to being with you again next week. Same Extra Points time, same Extra Points channel. And as I get ready to cue up the exit music, or what we call outro in the business, just listen to some of that Redskin lingo in the background. I love it. DMX, let's hit the music. The Extra Point is up, and it is good.